There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
And we begin the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Mike Pritchard here from South Point Casino in fabulous Las Vegas. I don't even know where to begin on this Wednesday.
Right.
We have so much to get to. And again, on Wednesday, that means we have Steve Mackinnon. He's got some numbers detailing certain pitchers that you can make a pretty penny, either fading or rolling with, depending on whether or not these guys are pitching at home or away. So some really valuable information in Major League Baseball. We're going to have Lou Finocchiaro join us in hour number two, and we've got a huge UFC 275 pay-per-view card coming up this weekend with not one but two title bouts on that. So we'll get Lou's thoughts and figure out if we have some live dogs in those two title matches. And also, Carl Paulson is going to join us once again from SiriusXM Radio, PGA Tour Radio, does a great job, former tour player. And I texted Carl yesterday on the way in to do this show 24 hours ago. And that was because the bombshell of Dustin Johnson, right? And then, the news of Tiger Woods. And he's not going to play at the U.S. Open next week in Brookline, Mass. And I thought, well, okay. Then we can exhale and the golf world is going to calm down. New world order. Sting has entered the ring. He is the third man, and that third man is Bryson DeChambeau. I can't even take a nap anymore and wake up and not find a big defection to live golf.
Who's Hollywood Hogan?
I don't know who it is, Rich.
Okay.
But this is insanity. Did you ever in your mind think that we'd be talking about golf as the one, you know, of the major sports out there, where we'd have calamity like this?
You know what, Dave? I'll tell you what. In my sport, National Football League, I think a lot of other sports can learn from the National Football League. Create drama, because now you have a calendar year discussion. Not as if golf already had that. Golf already had that. I mean, with the majors that they have, but it's mostly on the course. But if you want to have everybody talking about your sport, growing your sport this way, the business of growing your sport, there's nothing wrong with this. It's their Kardashian way. You just got to be relevant. You have to have people talking about you, whether there's drama involved or not. I don't think this is bad for golf.
I think you're spot on. I think you're looking at it through the prism that I am as well, which is competition is good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at it as a negative if you're the PGA Tour, right? And I get it. Like, I think if there was another network that really came along to try to do what we do, we'd probably say, oh, what's this all about? And you're taking some of our top guys, and right, you're starting, and it would get your attention.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if you're secure in who you are, and I'm sure the PGA Tour is,
they are.
They're going to go, okay, go ahead, do your thing. Let's see. We'll be watching too. You better believe it.
And the PGA has to act that way too, because they have all the records, they have all the relevant situations when it comes to
all the history.
All the history, right? And so there's something to speak about that, especially if you're like Tiger Woods and you're chasing history and you're the most dominant golfer of your era, your time, and maybe perhaps ever. So you have that force in play, too, for the PGA, and they know that. They are the big dog, and they have this upstart that's trying to make waves, and we'll see what happens. I think if you're the big dog, you kind of wait and see what happens more so than try to, you know, get involved with an iron fist. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because they could do that.
Yes,
they could do that, but they don't have to right now.
Don't overextend your hand. You still have all the aces if you're the PGA Tour. And if you come out with an iron fist, and you and I were talking about it before the show a little bit, and you govern the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup, those are under the PGA Tour purview, mm-hmm. right? So they could technically say to those guys, you're not eligible anymore. And I know that's happening right now with some of the European players and whether or not they're going to be on the European Ryder Cup team. And I think that's where the mistake could happen for the world of golf. If they start to say, no, you're not eligible now mm-hmm. to play in our marquee events, you're going to water down your marquee events. So I think you think you're saying we're going to use this as an incentive not to join. Those guys are going to go. If that money's there, they're going to go.
Oh, sure.
And we're seeing it now.
And the money is there right now.
The money is there right now. So I think you need to safeguard the integrity mm-hmm. of some of your showcase pieces, i.e. the Ryder Cup. And to me, and I know it's easy for me to stay on the outside, but if I had Jay Monahan's ear, and by all accounts, and Carl knows Jay, and we'll talk to Carl about it, you know, I would tell Jay, let those guys play in the Ryder Cup. I'd still allow them to do that, to come back and represent good old US of A.
Right.
And you would hope that Europe's best players would still be eligible to play in the Ryder Cup. So that event that the PGA Tour still governs is not watered down with lesser players.
Isn't the Ryder Cup supposed to represent pride of country? Like, I mean, we all make business decisions. We all do what's best for our family.
That's
Dustin Johnson. That's going to be his
that's
on his T-shirt. Yeah. I'm doing what's best for my family.
Exactly.
But the Ryder Cup sets that apart because it's not about business, right? It's about representing your country and playing for your country that way. So I think the PGA would make a mistake if they don't invite these type of players that can help you win the Ryder Cup. Represent the United States of America that way.
I think you're 100% spot on. If they can look at it through that prism, I think mm-hmm. they might make those decisions. We'll find out what they do, because right now it sounds like those guys aren't. And oh, by the way, Phil Mickelson's going to show up at Brookline in 2 weeks at the U.S. Open. Louis Oosthuizen is going to show up at Brookline in 2 weeks at the U.S. Open. Dustin Johnson's going to be at Brookline. And I wonder, Pritch, if we're going to have, if this LIV Golf, and we'll find out what this looks like this year, right?
Right.
It's not a long season.
Right.
Does it go into a second season? Is it going to be like the USFL? And collapse eventually, mm-hmm. you know, all these other rival football leagues that came before the NFL and tried to really take their best shot at the king, and it didn't work, right? Or if it's successful, do we end up having it major championships, like the NWO t-shirts on one side and the WWE on the other side? Is this going to be like WCW against WWE? And I don't even know, to your point, that would be bad for the sport. I don't know if you had guys rocking LIV and guys rocking PGA Tour, and it became like the Sharks and what was the thing at West Side Story? You know, all these rival things. Like, I don't know that would be bad. I know the PGA Tour doesn't want that because they want monopoly.
Sure,
they
sure
want
it does.
To be the big player.
Competition will drive excellence. I believe in that wholeheartedly.
The Sharks and the Jets.
Right, okay, the Jets, right. but, yeah, if LIV grows, they get a television sponsorship, they get a partner that way, then absolutely, yeah, the PGA is going to have to pay attention to that.
Yep.
But that competition will make them better, though.
No question about it. And by the way, there are numbers up on this first LIV Golf event this weekend over in England.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're a betting network, and we're going to try to break it down as best we can and try to give you that information. I saw Phil is at 30-1. I saw a picture of Phil online with Dustin Johnson. Don't know if I'd take that number at 31. Just if you saw the picture that's been circulating out. Looks like they've been having a lot of fun. I'm sure it's a party this weekend for LIV Golf and their inaugural event in London. You think those guys aren't having a good time?
Sure, they're having a great time. They're having a great time. And, you know, by the way, Dave, look, I don't know if you handicap golf that way. Sometimes, I mean, you saw sometimes that kind of atmosphere, if you will, or that kind of environment, if you will, can help your golf game.
I remember the story, if you remember a couple of years ago, when Dustin Johnson was the world number one player. Wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he slipped on wet steps the night before the start of Augusta and couldn't play. That was the story. I don't know if I'd buy it. I'm just saying, those guys are going to get after it.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have a good time. They're like, this is the Rebel Golf League. This is the Darth Vader of golf. This is the NWO. And they're going to live it up. That should factor into your handicapping. Maybe some of the younger guys over there, maybe like the Taylor Gooch's of the world, maybe they're going to be a little bit more focused on winning. I don't know if I'm trusting some of the big guns in LIV Golf in this first weekend.
That league is not, we're not going to call it a league now.
What is it?
LIV Golf, yeah, the organization, whatever they are right now, they're not going to turn into the entire waste management tour, though, right?
No, I
don't want to put waste management's name on that, by the way. But that atmosphere
is different.
It's not bad for golf, in my opinion. I mean, I love watching. I know a lot of people have opinions about it. They don't like watching golf that way.
Right.
But tell that to the fans in attendance at that event.
I think it's a great point because I don't know what it's going to look like. And again, I'm not going to just, you know, wistfully throw money out there at numbers because I have no idea what this is going to look like this weekend. To be perfectly blunt, you have to look at golf courses, how players approach it.
Right.
And we know in the PGA Tour, at least at major championships, they're taking this very seriously. I don't know what this is going to look like. Is it going to be a party this weekend for week number one? And you got team events, but you have individual events as well. Are the guys that just took the big money, $200 million for Phil Mickelson, $125 million for Dustin Johnson, just to sign their name on a contract, which is, by the way, different than the PGA Tour, which is independent contractors. So, like, where's their motivation this week? I would say caution before you start blindly wagering on this thing until we know what it looks like.
So, okay, well, wait, I know you want to have caution, but wait a minute. Let's look at this from a betting standpoint. Mm-hmm. How would you cap it right now? How would you go about capping this event coming up?
I don't think I'd play the bigger guns. I don't think I'd play the Phil Mickelsons at 30-1. I don't think I'd play the Dustin Johnson at the shorter numbers that I saw at some places here in town in Las Vegas. I probably would pick maybe a European player that's already over there, that's not making the travel, that hadn't had the whole kerfuffle about the big announcement, like Bryson DeChambeau today. I would probably stay away from those players that are in the headlines in the United States for the wrong reasons, and maybe some other players over in Europe and other parts of the world, but maybe they're not getting the same consternation that some of the American players are getting
that jump. Because even with the RBC, you're seeing rumblings, at least I am, about, okay, this is a tune-up for the U.S. Open. So how do you cap in that situation, right?
I'm not playing Justin.
Taking more long shots?
I'm not playing Justin Thomas this weekend. Exactly right. For that same reason, as they get ready for Brookline next week. Very quickly, before we take our first break, and again, we got a lot more to get to. Game 3 of the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals we'll discuss when we come back. But I was texting my buddy Tyler Foljam over at ESPN. He and I are both big golf guys. And we were like, well, Patrick Reed's gone. Bryson DeChambeau's gone. We're like, well, those guys weren't really well-liked on tour. So not a big loss. And I go, Bryson's best bud was Tiger Woods. There's no way Tiger Woods is going to do this.
He turned him down. I think
he turned him down.
He turned him down.
Because he is a PGA Tour guy. He's going to take the mantle from Jack, right? But I just threw that out there, like, could you, like, shock emotion?
No, he's too, right? No, he's all about records Bryson. Right now. Yeah, it's not about money anymore. It's all about those records right now for Tiger.
Because remember, they played on the Ryder Cup team together. Tiger Woods and Bryson DeChambeau. As of right now, no Bryson DeChambeau for the Ryder Cup next year. So many tentacles that we'll get to later on with Carl Paulson. But when we come back, game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. Are the Warriors a live dog? We'll discuss when you come back with us right here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
VSiN contributor Jeff Siegel is coming off a winning Preakness pick, and now you can get a $25 free bet to follow him in Saturday's Belmont Stakes. All you have to do is sign up for First Bet, the preferred horse racing app of VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/horses for details on this exclusive offer for VSiN fans. That's VSiN.com/horses. Use a promo code LVBELMONT. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, I am Dave Ross. And Pritch, you know, I mean, I love coming to work every day and talking, because in our industry, there really is no days off. Like the Bill Belichick, no days off. We don't have any days off, right? And you think sometimes you get to the dog days of summer. No, not really. Not with LIV Golf and all the calamities going on in the rest of the sports world. Oh, by the way, we have game three of the NBA Finals. And I say, oh, by the way, because sometimes it gets lost in the long layoffs that they have.
Right.
And now we have game three tonight back in the East Coast in Boston. The series all tied up at one, obviously. And right now the Seas are still about 3.5-point favorites. We're seeing that total around 212.5. Do you factor that into your handicap, these three-day layoffs, where normally sometimes you want to get in a rhythm, sometimes you want to stay in a rhythm, sometimes you can get out of a rhythm? I don't know if people read into it too much or if it really is a factor in the NBA Finals with the spacing that they have of it.
You know what? I do like it. You know, we're in a different format. It used to be 2-3-2, that kind of thing. But, you know, you got a 2-2-1-1-1. And so when you look at the situations when you have Boston going back home, they're going to play again on Friday too, right? So we'll get that rhythm aspect of it. But I don't mind the layoff or the time in between, because there's injuries involved too.
Yeah.
Robert Williams, I'm hoping that he's closer to 100% if he can get there. I'm probably not going to get there. But I want to see these guys fresh on the floor. I want to see them attention to detail, the adjustments that are going to happen, because you watch tape. We're anticipating Boston, okay, they're going to step up, being more physical on the floor in this game, because Draymond turned it up a few notches, right? He's a nuisance. He's Dennis Rodman, basically.
He is.
Can Jalen overcome all that? Can he elevate his game mentally and forget the fact that Draymond is a nuisance on the floor? Because Draymond is D'ing him up right now. And so Jalen's going to have to be better than that he was in game two and not be frustrated that way. So you really
think he is living in Jalen Brown's head?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. At least in game two. Yeah. I'm going to give Jalen the benefit of the doubt that he's going to be able to overcome that. But if you go right back out there on the floor, maybe you don't have time to think about that as an athlete. I'm thinking about it from my perspective as an athlete. Like, yeah, give me a few days to kind of watch tape, review my game, understand what's going on, and adjust that way.
Pritch, I wonder, because you played with guys like Deion Sanders, Andre Rison, right, that were combative and talkers. And is it a strategy? Was it a strategy for those guys? Is it a strategy for Draymond Green to say, you know what, I might not go after Jason Tatum, I'll let that sleeping dog lie, but I'll go after Jaylen Brown. And if I can get in his head and take away option number two, well, that's part of the equation of victory.
Right.
Is that all fair? Because I know a lot of people, social media, the talking heads that we see all over the networks, are kind of like really getting on Draymond Green, that this is over the line, crossing the line. Is there a line if you're trying to win a championship?
No, there's no line. It's about competition. It's about winning a championship. You're this close. Wait a minute. I'm going to draw a line now. Is that what you're trying to say? Now there's a line since – no. I mean, it's interesting you brought up Andre, because, you know, Michigan State, they have that in common, him and Draymond. But Draymond, this is his game, though. I mean, this is nothing new. You know, he got ejected in that series against LeBron and the Cavs. I think he understands how far he can go with it.
Yeah.
He got one T. You get two Ts. I mean, you have parameters there.
I can get that first.
Right. I know how far I can go, where Jalen doesn't know how far to go. This is the first time in NBA Finals. Mm. And so you have the experience factor, like you do if you're Golden State. You're going to use that to your advantage over the inexperienced Boston Celtics right now.
Yeah, it is interesting, because I wonder if privately Steph and Clay are just like, this is awesome. This is exactly what we want.
You know
this
what that did? But it took pressure off of one key player for Golden State. You know what that player was? It was Poole.
Yeah.
Remember, Poole plays so much better when he doesn't have any type of pressure or spotlight on him.
Well, his minutes have been limited.
Right.
Even in that third quarter explosion and the shot at the end of the third, Steve Kerr, the trust level, I don't know if it's gone down. Maybe it goes back up now after that third quarter explosion.
I think he gauges the pressure, though. Like, if Draymond can affect things like he was on the floor offensively for Boston, take them out of rhythm, in particular a couple players, okay, now my guy, Poole, who's going to help us win a championship, can feel more comfortable on the floor. And when he's more comfortable on the floor, that's that deadly lineup that they have with those three guards.
You know, that's an interesting way to handicap this, that you kind of look at it like, you know, like Marcus Smart in the Bay, he's not going to be intimidated. He's Marcus Smart, right? He's going to take it all, right? Jaylen Brown looks like he's clearly been affected. I don't know what to make of Jason Tatum because he had his best game in game two, and they lose badly, right? He had a poor game in game one, but the others stepped up and were better. So do you worry about Jordan Poole now going on the road? It's going to be hostile tonight. And sure. I mean that in the sports sense.
Right.
But you think the Boston fans are going to let Draymond Green off the hook tonight? You got another thing coming.
Well, Draymond can handle it, though.
Right.
Like, you mentioned players who I played with, you know, Dion and you know, Andre, anybody really like that, they could handle it. And actuality, they fed off of it, really.
They wanted it.
Yeah, they wanted it. So, because it's me against everybody else. And when it's me against everybody else like that way, if you're that type of athlete, you're wired that way, you get energized from that. So I'm looking for Boston to step up, being more physical. That could lead to more zones, maybe matchup zones, because they got to defend the pick and roll. Pick and roll, to me, is all about matchups when it comes to Golden State creating those. And we saw how limited Boston was against certain matchups and pick and roll situations. The points in the paint discrepancy was incredible when you factor in that game two situation for Golden State. So Robert Williams, again, he's not 100%, but the Warriors find ways to get into the paint. They do. I mean, it was so bad in terms of the difference between points in the paint and game two for Golden State. 40-24 could have been worse because, remember, Golden State missed a lot of easy buckets early on, too. So I think Boston's got a problem that way. If they can create an opportunity to have Golden State be more perimeter-oriented and shoot the rock.
Think about what you're saying.
I know, but
isn't that stunning?
They can contest that, though. And then also, that type of offensive lineup for Golden State, I don't think can defend what Boston has offensively.
I always say that, you know, everything that's old will be new again. Mm-hmm. And what you're just describing is, instead of settling for the three, and maybe Boston's overplaying in the perimeter, keep taking it to the hole. Keep going to the rack. Andrew, like, watching the arc of Andrew Wiggins's playing career now is fascinating.
Right.
This was a guy that was a guy who stood out on the wing, right? And maybe he was a little bit of a slasher, but really, jump shooter, right? Comes in as number one pick, supposed to be the scorer. Now he's like a low post guy. You know, rebound, defender, grunge guy, dirty work guy. Like, when did that happen? So, like, you watch that and you go, if they're going to be tougher than Boston down low and beat them in the paint and they don't have to rely on Splash Brothers and Clay being good, because Clay hasn't been good.
Nope.
And they can win by almost 30 without Clay Thompson. Like, that kind of scares me if I'm on the Boston side.
Right.
Because if you keep overextending and they keep, because Steph will do that. Like, yeah, Steph's going to hit his threes and that's just the way it's going to be. He'll also kill you at the rim.
Sure. Absolutely.
If you're not going to defend the interior, this could be, to me, I kind of like Golden State tonight in this game three.
Well, you're catching points here, 3.5 on the road, 12.5 is the total. It's interesting, too, because Golden State, they get away with so many moving screens that they don't call.
Oh, yeah, I do.
You know, because they move and they cut all the time, right? And it's actually going to have a lead blocker on some
Draymond
of the screens.
Draymond does
they
that,
do.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't call that. It's basically a moving screen, but they don't call it because they're positioning themselves, right? And,
well, if you put your hands up, Pritz, then
you're always or if you're up there like a blocker on electric football. Watch it. Watch Golden State. They do that. And it's a moving screen, and they don't call it, and they get away with it. They really get away with it. It's highly effective for them. But the turnovers have done in Boston, too.
Yep.
So if you land 3.5 for Boston, can they solve the turnover problem? It was a problem against Miami, and it's a problem against Golden State. The thing about it, though, you can turn the ball over against Miami and still be in a game, but you turn the ball over against Golden State, and then you're not scoring, you're in trouble.
You know, it is interesting when you look at the way the totals happen in the first two games where it goes easily over the total with a huge fourth quarter by Boston in game one to steal that game. And then game two, Golden State comes in, Boston just can't score anymore. We talk about how these are the top two defenses in the NBA. We really don't talk about that a whole lot. It feels like at 212.5, there really hasn't been a big adjustment. It's still kind of still in that same range. It's been around 215 down to 212 in these first couple games here. What style do you think we get tonight? Do we get that, as you mentioned, we're going to guard you more on the perimeter to limit threes, so we're going to get more twos, maybe less scoring? Like, it's really hard to gauge where we think that total might go.
Yeah, it is hard to gauge at this point because of the turnover factor, too. I think Boston will step up trying to be more physical. That's what they're talking about. Marcus Smart cannot cover Steph, though.
Wait. Defensive player of the year.
I know. But you talked about Tatum, too. And so his average game is about 28 points. That's what he's scoring right now. He's got to be spectacular. Can he skew it that way against his defense for Golden State? And also, can Jaylen Brown overcome the nuance or the nuisance that is Draymond Green? If he can do that, then maybe this total is different. But a defensive battle, two teams like this, the length on the perimeter for Boston, too, more physical on the floor, 212.5, maybe the unders play.
I wonder if Deion back in the day, like when he knew, he'd just be like, I got him. Right? Oh, and that's what Draymond's thinking right now. Got him. He's locked in my head. When we come back, Steve Mackin is going to join us. Some incredible numbers in Major League Baseball to discuss. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $39, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with some of the best betting content in the biz right here at VSiN.com. Subscribers are going to have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Von Tobel's got you covered through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil's going to do the same for the Stanley Cup Finals. He's going to have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. So sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN each and every Wednesday. A real pleasure to be joined by Steve Mackinnon. Follow him on Twitter at Steve Mackinnon. Of course, our Point Spread Weekly editor joins us. And Steve, I was looking at your notes last night, right? And I'm seeing these pictures that we're going to talk about here in a second of guys maybe you want to back at home and guys you might want to back in the road. And then I'm watching my Metropolitans go up against Yu Darvish, who happens to be in your article. And I went, oh, great. And then Yu Darvish had like a no-hitter through, almost six last night, and your numbers were spot on once again. Let's talk about some guys, and let's start right there with you, because we know Darvish is one of those guys, Steve, that has dynamic stuff. Why it doesn't translate on the road, but yet to your numbers, he can be very profitable at home. Why do you think those splits occur?
You know, it's hard to say in this circumstance. Maybe Mike can maybe lend more of his expertise to this, the fact that athletes are comfortable in certain situations. I mean, you just get certain levels of performance. I know for a fact playing basketball myself in the past that there were courts I liked to play better at. I mean, that's just how it goes.
You know, Steve, it is fascinating and how correlative this is, because as an athlete myself, and we're talking about this during a break, Darvish going up against the Mets. The Mets are crushing the ball, but yet Darvish does an amazing job, puts a great game, right? So there's a fine line, I guess. This is the best way to sum it up or explain it, Steve. There's a fine line between confidence and insecurity as an athlete. If I'm shooting a rock and I see the ball going through the hoop, okay, I'm highly confident. But if I'm bricking everything, I'm insecure. I'm not the same player. And the same thing, I think, translates to all sports, football, baseball, all sports across the gamut there.
And no question about it. And we mentioned Yu Darvish. He's been almost 20 units to the plus at home in San Diego, but he's not the number one guy on your list. It's Kyle Gibson of Philadelphia with a plus 19.97 units. Again, this is profit at home since 2021. Boy, I didn't see that coming here, Steve. So, again, some of these players that we're going to go through, it is amazing because Kyle Gibson, we know he's a very good starting pitcher, but, boy, is that highly profitable at home in a small pitcher's ball or non-pitcher's ballpark in Philadelphia. Again, these numbers that play out, when I look at it now, I have to back Kyle Gibson at home, even though if I can't really wrap my head as to why that's happening, the profits are there, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Dave. I mean, if you look at it's kind of the opposite of Yu Darvish. You can see maybe where Darvish has a little more comfort pitching at Petco Park, where the offense doesn't have much of an advantage. So he's comfortable there. But, yeah, Gibson been solid at home, almost Cy Young-worthy type numbers at home over the past season plus. So definitely somebody you're going to want to watch for. His next home start figures to be this Saturday against the D-backs.
And that's the beauty of subscribing to Point Spread Weekly, following Steve Mack and his work.
Get the jump on it.
Because not only the jump, but he maps it out for you as a bettor. I mean, look, this is undeniable information here, and that's how I'm looking at it, Steve, and how to apply it, too. Like you just mentioned, look for these pitchers in their next home starts, and don't make it too difficult on yourself as a bettor out there.
Absolutely, Mike. And the great thing about today's article is you want to hop on it today.
Yes.
Because there are six of these guys going today in their certain spots that I talk about.
Let's talk about some of those others. Because, again, some of the names do jump off. Because, again, I mentioned Yu Darvish and the talent there is undeniable, right? Trevor Bauer's not pitching, but we understand why he'd be on that list when he is eligible to pitch. Logan Webb in San Francisco. Some of these names, you go, yeah, of course, guys. Mm-hmm. Uber talented, right? But then you do look at, say, a Germán Márquez, who went last night for Colorado and actually pitched well on the road. But at home, Colorado, I mean, Steve, that would say, who wants to pitch in Colorado? I got to back Márquez at home in what is known as notoriously a bad pitcher's ballpark.
Yeah, and ironically, another guy on there sends a tail. You want to back him, too, at home. You wonder what makes these two particular pitchers feel way more comfortable at Coors Field than they do when they get on the road. You would think it'd be quite the opposite, but you just never know what drives an athlete.
Yeah, it is fascinating. Let's take a look at, conversely, some other guys here, Steve. We flipped the scripts that you found to be very profitable at home. And if you would tell the origin story of this, because I was reading about it, how Greg Peterson does a great job for us here at VSiN. That you had a conversation, I believe, with Greg that kind of led to you going down this primrose path to find these numbers and these splits that you're seeing, how profitable some guys are at home and somehow how profitable some guys are on the road.
Yeah, so Greg brought up the case of Darvish, and I remember this from years ago with Zach Greinke at Miller Park. Just was almost unbeatable when he pitched for the Brewers. He'd go on the road, and it was very ordinary. So it got me thinking again, maybe there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. So I obviously you dig into the numbers and you do find that. Now, let's look at a game like for today. We got Dane Dunning going for Texas at Cleveland. Dunning has been a far more profitable pitcher at home. He's the Rangers are 2-15 in his last 17 road games, and his whip is about 1.7. So Dunning's a pretty good underdog at Cleveland today, and I think it's for good reason.
Yeah, you actually got Ian Anderson on the bump, too, for Atlanta at home, which is intriguing to me right now because I was looking at some other games, but I'm not going to bypass this data that you have right here. Now, it's a big number. It's minus 230. Other situations, when you have such a strong information like that, does that favor first five situations, for instance, with Ian Anderson?
Well, you'd have to think so because Anderson doesn't typically get beyond the sixth. So I would definitely consider that type of information essential. Now, if you want to balance something out where you're a little uncomfortable with maybe having such a big number today, we got a big number on the other side that might be worthy of something too. Josiah Gray for Washington. He's going against Alcantara at Miami today. Josiah Gray has been phenomenal on the road, horrible at home. 6.45 ERA at home in his last 14 starts at home, 3.23 with a whip of 1.15 in his last 10 road starts. So he's been sharp. He's about a plus 190 underdog at Miami today. And Washington had a poor start yesterday with Adon pitching, which is a whole nother story altogether. But they won three games in a row before that game. So I wouldn't discount Washington's chance to pull kind of a pretty big upset today.
You know, one other name that really caught my eye, Steve, and this is as a formerly disgruntled Metropolitan fan. Everything's been great until the Yu Darvish start last night. But I look at Steven Matz of St. Louis, okay? And he's been, to your numbers here, really profitable on the road, not so profitable at home. Do I have to back Steven Matz on the road, even though he's like, you know, arch enemy number one in New York City?
Well, I think we know we're trying not to do this with our heart, Dave. So you get value where you take it where you can get it.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. And I will put my money above my heart and have to back Matz on the road. The other guy that kind of jumped out to me, gentlemen, here was Gerrit Cole because he was a lightning rod at the beginning of the year, right? And maybe it's Yankee Stadium. here, Steve, where, you know, the home fans can be tough on you. I think they were tough on him early, but on the road, he's been very profitable. So normally, you don't like to weigh those bigger prices with those named commodities like a Garrett Cole. But to your numbers here, Steve, that's not a bad way to go to back a horse like Garrett Cole on the road.
Yeah, simply because of the premium price difference. I mean, he's pitches at Yankee Stadium. You're just paying the premium on that. If you look at the statistics, they're pretty close as to how he performs at home on the road. He's just a solid pitcher all around. But you pay that premium level price for him, and sometimes you just gotta shy away from it.
All right. So again, that's a profitable play to take Garrett Cole on the road. I will be doing that in starts to come. Before we go, Steve, we've got about 45 seconds to go here. I follow you on Twitter at Steve Mackinnon, as people should do. We're burying the lead here. You went and saw Top Gun Maverick in the theater. Can you give us your best Siskel and Ebert in 30-second review?
Yeah, I tell you what, I thought it was a fantastic storyline. I haven't seen many sequels where they don't push the first story that hard, but work it in very cleverly to the second one. I thought they did that here. I thought the conflict story part of it was very good, very realistic, that you could really get behind. So great movie. Very excited about maybe the potential of movies with after what I saw last night.
You know, our guy Brian Ortega, one of our producers here at VEASAN, does a great job breaking down the Oscars from a betting perspective. And I said to him, how is this not Best Picture? Everybody's raving about this picture. He said, there's no chance it'll win. I don't get the Oscars.
Not a chance.
Steve, appreciate your thoughts. As always, follow him on Twitter, at Steve Mackinnon. When we come back, Carl Paulson's going to join us from PGA Tour Radio. My goodness, the golf world is ablaze. We're going to try to put some water on it and calm it down when you come back with us on the Lombardi Line on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
There has never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. New customers can download the BetMGM app and place a $10 money line wager on any NBA Finals game. And if either team simply hits a three-pointer in the game, you're going to win $200 in free bets. Just use the code VEASAN200 when you make your very first wager. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code VEASAN200 to win $200 in free bets if either team hits a three-pointer in any NBA Finals game. So visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Alongside Mike Pritchard, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VEASAN. And Pritch, as I mentioned to you, I texted our buddy Carl Paulson yesterday. because, you know, Tiger Woods was not going to play in the U.S. Open. I thought that was a big news. We were just coming off the heels of Dustin Johnson defecting to LIV Golf. I thought that was the big news. And then I wake up today, and there's more big news. And Carl is cool enough to join us once again. Of course, he is a former PGA Tour golfer and co-host of Inside the Ropes on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio and the pride of First Colonial High School in Virginia Beach. We both went there. CP, it's great to have you back in the program, my friend. I don't even know where to begin with golf because it feels like the NWO right now, and it's just kind of setting the world on fire, the sports world, with what's happening in golf. First of all, did you see this coming with LIV Tour, that they would get this many defections of the caliber of a DJ, of a Bryson, popularity guys like Ricky Fowler, and then, of course, a lot of the Euro guys? Did we think it would have this big an impact this soon?
No, not at all, Dave, and thanks for having me, by the way, and I apologize for the background noise in the car. I found out yesterday that I'm going back up to work PGA Tour Live this week because one of the guys that was supposed to work it got into the tournament in Canada late, so running around like a crazy person trying to get ready to leave tomorrow morning, but no, I didn't. You know, when we first started kind of looking at who was interested in going to play on this tour, it was guys that were pretty much, but you know, over the hill when it comes into, you know, in terms of past their prime, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lee Westwoods and the Ian Poulters and Phil Mickelson, even though he won a major championship last year, well past their primes. And we kind of thought this, you know, okay, fine, they'll go get a, you know, a little bit of a money grab here, and but we'll still have a super strong nucleus here on the PGA Tour. Dustin Johnson was a big surprise to everybody, I think, you know, after everything that went down earlier this year. And then he said that he was committed to the PGA Tour. Bryson just last week said he was committed to the PGA Tour and not going. I guess the enticement of that money is just too strong for some of these guys.
You know, Carl, it's really interesting, too, because I don't know if we can measure the ripple effect of all this yet. Certainly we want that information if we're looking to bet these guys.
Right.
Whether it's the RBC or either in future tournaments, future events, because we don't know how the PGA is going to react as well. What's been, I guess, the talk amongst players like yourself or just people that are covering the sport about that ripple effect right now?
Well, we talked a little bit about that. Dennis Paulson and my co-host and I talked a little bit about that before our show today. And we're pretty big on letting everything kind of happen before we start talking about it because they're all hypotheticals until they happen. Look, yeah, we've had some guys that are signed and ready to go, but, you know, what if they change their mind and don't tee off tomorrow morning? So let's just wait. Let's get this tournament underway, see what happens. We're waiting for a real response from the PGA Tour. What are they going to do to the players that have left and are now going to play the LIV? And can they do anything? Because some of those guys have just given up their membership on the PGA Tour. Can't really do anything to those guys. It's one of those, you can't fire me because I quit kind of things. And so I don't really think, you know, right now until this tournament goes underway and we hear something from the PGA Tour, it's really worth kind of going into the hypotheticals. But there are some things that are really kind of piquing my interest, you know. The Ryder Cup, for one. How are we going to handle the Ryder Cup situation? Because, you know, under the old rules, you had to be a member of the PGA of America and a member of the PGA Tour to be on the United States Ryder Cup team. Are they going to hold true to those values and to those categories that you have to kind of check off the list? The President's Cup is owned by the PGA Tour. Are we going to continue that? Is that going to change in any way? So there are a lot of things down the road that are really interesting to kind of see what's going to happen. But, you know, without it happening, it's just kind of speculation.
CP, I think you just nailed it right on the head. It's something that Mike and I discussed before we began the show today. I think that's the biggest potential ripple effect. Hey, individual tour things, you miss out on the PGA Tour. I think the tour can handle that. But when it gets to the Ryder Cup and it gets to the President's Cup and it's under their purview and they could come down and rule with an iron fist and say no, you're right. We don't know if they're going to do that. I hope they don't so it doesn't water down that product and we really do get the best Americans against the best Euros. And we'll figure out how the European Tour kind of decides decides what to do with their players in this same predicament. But Carl, I do wonder about the majors, right? And so we know next week at the U.S. Open that Phil Mickelson's going to show up. Dustin Johnson's going to show up. Louis Oosthuizen's going to be there. You know, is this going to be like, you know, WCW against WWE, and they're going to have their live shirts versus the PGA Tour? Like, are we going for a Sharks and Jets scenario coming down the road?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the major championships, obviously, we heard from the USGA yesterday saying that they were going to go with the field that was already in place, which includes some of the live tour players that have jumped ship from the PGA Tour. I think that was the right move. I think the major championships, what's going to happen with the major championships is dependent and hinges on one thing, and that's the official world golf rankings. If the official world golf rankings does not give this tour official world golf ranking points and these guys can't stay in the top 50 in the world or top 60 in the world or whatever it is for that particular major championship, they're not going to be able to qualify for these majors. So maybe for a couple of years, a year and a half, these guys can stay inside the top 50, not playing in any tournaments based upon where they were ranked prior to them leaving. But they're going to drop out of those numbers that they need to be inside of to qualify for the U.S. Open, which brings up another pretty big point with the official world golf rankings. If the official world golf rankings doesn't like to give points out to 54-hole events, they do. But they don't particularly like no-cut events as well, which, you know, these kind of fall under both of those categories. I don't see if this tour continues to pick players off from the PGA Tour and continues on for the next year or so, or 2 years, or 3 years, or 5 years, because that's kind of what they're planning on with these contracts that they're signing, that the official world golf rankings can't, that it doesn't give them points at some point, because we're going to have a couple of pretty decent fields, and you know, the official world golf rankings gives points to some pretty small tournaments and some pretty small tours around the world that you don't have to give them to all the players. Maybe give out 24 places of official world golf rankings. But if the official world golf rankings just completely ignores this tour, what's that going to do to that product? It's really going to water that thing down too. So again, another trickle down effect that we don't have any idea of what's going to happen. And I don't want to speculate on what is going to happen, because I kind of like to watch and see what happens and kind of comment on that. But there are so many of those tentacles, Dave, that, you know, there's probably four or five of them that nobody's even thought about yet.
I think you're right on, CP. And I think you're right. We have to kind of take a wait and see approach to what this is, what it looks like. Do the players like it? Do they want to come back to the PGA Tour right away? It is going to be so many moving parts there, CP. Got about a minute and a half to go. You said you're going to be heading up there to the RBC this weekend for the Canadian Open. Give me some long shots. Who do you like this week? Scottie Scheffler is the smallest name on the board here, 7-1, with Justin Thomas, 7-1, Rory right there at 8-1. Do those guys use this as a tune-up for next week's U.S. Open, or do you think they're in it to win it?
Oh, they're definitely in it to win it. No question about that. You know, you can go into the tournament with thoughts of, okay, I'm going to hit more cut shots this week because the greens are going to be firmer next week, and I'm going to do that. But once they get into contention, you kind of lose all of that pregame, you know, all the planning and stuff that you had ready to rock and roll, and you go try to win a tournament, and, you know, instinct takes over and you go do what you do. So I certainly think that they will be using this tournament. You know, a lot of players like to play the week before. A lot of players don't like to play the week before. So they kind of have a game plan already of what they're doing. And if you're there, you're trying to win the golf tournament. You're trying to win a bunch of FedEx Cup points to help you get back into, you know, make it back to Atlanta. So, you know what? There hadn't been a Canadian winner in a long, long time. And Corey Connors is looking awfully good, guys.
Woo! 22-1 for the Canadian Corey Connors. Hey, CP, safe travels, my friend. Appreciate you joining us again. I love listening to you each and every day on Inside the Ropes on Sirius XM Radio. CP, safe travels. Catch up again next week. There he is, everybody.
Thanks Carl for Wilson. Having me.
When we come back, much more NFL with Mike Pritchard here in the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.